How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 152 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head onto iTunes and search Locked On Thunder. Subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page. And find us on audioboom.com, too. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site. You can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Hope you all had a good weekend. Thunder beat the Pelicans on Sunday evening, 118-110. What a game from Russell Westbrook. I should really say, what a fourth quarter from Russell Westbrook, because the first three quarters were a little bit ugly, but finished with 41 points, 11 boards, 11 assists. 21 of those points came in the fourth quarter. He had 8 turnovers over the first three quarters, only one in the fourth. It's the most he's ever scored. 21 is the most he's ever scored in a fourth quarter in his entire career. That's a career high for fourth quarters. Anthony Davis had 38 points, 7 boards for New Orleans. DeMarcus Cousins had 31-10. Enes Kanter had 20 off the bench after struggling, shooting 2 of 12 in his first game back on Friday after missing that month. Looked out of rhythm, struggled for sure against the Lakers on Friday. Thought he played really well in this game against New Orleans, which is a team that he's played well against all season. Thunder sweep the season series now against New Orleans. 4-0 against Pelicans. Russell Westbrook, 3 triple-doubles. Triple-doubles in 3 out of those 4 games. He was awesome in the fourth quarter. He just kind of took over. He was so patient. He was so prodding. When he gets in that mode, he's just so good. Like, that's when he's at his best. He had a couple of times where he pulled up from three and that kind of stuff, but he was so hot that, like, that was fine. He was so good. He had that unbelievable dunk on Cousins, which fouled Cousins out of the game. Cousins' face is kind of always incredulous. He's always looking incredulous. He had that incredulous face a lot. This game was ugly. I know it was high scoring, and, like, it was 87-84 through three quarters, and Stars played well. Davis had 24 in the first quarter, which he was ridiculous in the first. Like, the defense wasn't even that bad. He was just making everything. And Cousins had 19 in the second. It was weird. Davis had 24 in the first. Cousins had 0 in the first. And then Davis had 0 in the second, but Cousins had 19 in the second. It was so weird. It was like they couldn't both get going at the same time. But overall, they played well. 38 and 31, I should say. They both played strong. Pelicans didn't necessarily lose because of them. They lost because nobody else scored more than 10 points. And Westbrook was just so good in the fourth. But it was ugly. 55 combined fouls between the two teams. Lots of tacky touch fouls, which you kind of think, eh. 7 techs. Cousins had a tech. Westbrook had a tech. Alvin Gentry had a tech. Techs all over the place. Everybody had tech. Steven Adams had a tech. Everybody had them. At one point, one of the referees actually called the technical fouls on, I don't know if it was on Adams or if it was on Westbrook or if it was on Cousins. It was on somebody. And, like, after realizing, like, oh, crap, this guy's already got a technical foul. I'm ejecting him by calling this technical foul. He went over to the scorer's table, and he said it was an inadvertent whistle. Inadvertent whistle, even though he made the technical foul sign. It was so weird. That was such a weird play. But the game was weird. I didn't think it was that fun of a game to watch. But the fourth quarter in general, that was awesome. That was a great fourth quarter. Westbrook was so good in that fourth quarter. It was fun to watch. Some Twitter questions. First, from Michael McAfee. When Oladipo is healthy, should Donovan try bringing him off the bench to run the second unit and keep Alex Abrines in the starting lineup? It's an interesting takeaway from this game. Abrines had 13 points in this one. He had 19 on Friday. Oladipo's missed the first two games out of the All-Star break. He started experiencing back spasms on Thursday mornings. Practice. They came back from the break on Wednesday. They practiced Wednesday morning. They practiced again on Thursday. Oladipo started experiencing some back spasms. Then he missed practice. Then he lightly, barely shot around on Friday morning. Kind of tried to go through Friday night workouts before the game. Couldn't really do it. couldn't go. Saturday, he participated in some of the non-contact parts of practice, but they didn't really do any contact, and Billy Donovan said if they had done contact, he wouldn't have participated in that. And then Sunday, Donovan called him a game-time decision, but the Thunder ruled him out about 45 minutes before tip-off on Sunday night. And it's just been the back spasms for him for the last, 96 hours or whatever it's been. But Abrines has played well, and I don't hate this idea. And I'm not arguing for Oladipo to get fewer minutes than he's gotten. Give him 30-some-odd minutes. But I don't think a redistribution of those minutes is so crazy. Look, Anthony Morrow is gone, so Abrines is going to get more minutes now, I think, regardless. I think part of the thing about the Anthony Morrow trade is that now all of a sudden Abrines is going to be that guy when you need a shooter. He's going to get more minutes. He's going to be more reliable. And obviously McDermott's there too, but their positions don't always overlap. So when you want a guy at the two who can shoot, that could be Abrines. I think Abrines starting kind of makes sense. Like, look, he's not doing that much differently than Oladipo when he's out there. They've kind of just turned Oladipo into this glorified spot-up shooter when he plays with the first unit. Now, I know basketball convention says you probably want a second ball handler on the floor. You probably want a creator on the floor, secondary creator on the floor. Convention tells you that's what you usually, almost always want with a team. I think Russell Westbrook kind of defies convention because they don't use Oladipo. I mean, Oladipo is a secondary creator, but they don't use him as that when he's out there with Westbrook. He's barely touching the ball when in terms of handling, creating, that kind of stuff. And I don't think it's that different from Abrines. Now, the downfall would come on defense. But Abrines creates more space. He's able to knock down more shots. I think you maximize his abilities playing next to Westbrook because he can create shots for him. He's not hesitant to shoot anymore. He's a better player now than he was 2 or 3 months ago when I think he was a little bit hesitant to shoot at times. He's not that anymore. He puts up shots quick and fast. He's got a quick release. He's got a high release. He's good in the corners. He's good from the break. He's shooting the ball real well from three. And he can do a little bit of other stuff, too, on offense. He's not a bad cutter. He can finish around the rim, like, okay. Like, he's not Anthony Morrow. People say he's Anthony Morrow. He's not Anthony Morrow. He's not. He's better than that. So I don't think this is a crazy idea at all, leaving him out there, because with Oladipo coming off the bench, now the reason you would do this also is because Oladipo coming off the bench, you can make sure all of Oladipo's minutes are coming with the bench unit. Now, you don't need to, like I said, you don't need to lower Oladipo's minutes. You can keep his minutes in the 30s. That's fine. They should be in the 30s. And you don't even necessarily, you can adjust your starters depending on who you're going against. But if you have him coming off the bench, he can run that bench unit. He can basically be your bench point guard, backup point guard, backup two. And you can almost go with a three-man guard lineup. You can play Samaje Christen when he's necessary. Now we'll see what happens with that 15th roster spot. We call it the 15th roster spot because there are 14 guys in the team. But they're not really missing a 15th roster spot. They're more missing like a 9th roster spot. And they already have guys 10 through 15. Because Christen is a guy who they thought was going to be a third string point guard. Now he's their backup. And I think they are looking for a backup if they can get that in some ways. But I'll get that a little bit later. I don't think this is crazy. I don't think it's crazy to suggest that Alex Abrines should be starting. I think it's an interesting idea. I don't know if it'll happen. We'll see when Oladipo comes back. There's no official timetable on him, but it's an interesting proposition. I do think if Oladipo starts, then you got to have Taj Gibson in the starting lineup. Let's go to the next question because this is one heck of a transition. It's from Matt Harrison. He wants to know, will Taj eventually move into starting? My prediction, I wouldn't be surprised if he started on Tuesday against Utah. I wouldn't. Sabonis has started the first two games since the Thunder made the McDermott-Gibson trade. And Sabonis started against the Lakers. He started against the Pelicans on Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised by any means if Gibson started on Tuesday. And I would be surprised. So they have a road trip coming up. They have Portland on Thursday, Phoenix Friday, and Dallas on Sunday. If they go through that road trip and Gibson still is not starting at the four, I'd be really surprised. I'd be really surprised. I think it's going to happen pretty soon. And the reason why he hasn't started yet is because they're still figuring stuff out. They don't know defensive signals, and they don't know terminology, and they don't know plays, and they're still learning that stuff. So it makes sense that Donovan's keeping something consistent. But I think you probably make Sabonis your fourth big man. You throw Gibson in your starting lineup. And I know I know Sabonis is a, you know, stretch four, but he hasn't been knocking down shots enough to warrant really earning that nickname. He's just kind of a pseudo stretch four at this point from the spots on the floor he stands, but guys aren't really guarding him on the perimeter, and he's not knocking down a higher enough percentage of his threes to really make a difference in terms of stretching the floor. So Gibson's going to be hanging around 16 feet. It's probably not going to make that much of a difference in terms of spacing, driving lanes, post-ups for Adams, or maybe even Cantor if he's next to him, all that stuff. I don't think it makes that much of a difference. You still play Sabonis. You still play him. You know, you play him Joffrey LeVern's minutes. But I think that Gibson is going to end up being a guy who's that starting power forward. I think he'll certainly be there by the time the playoffs start. And I think you got to move him into there a little bit earlier than that just to get him in a groove, get him in a rhythm, get him comfortable with the starters, all that stuff. And I think he's the best option they've got. And that's why you trade for him. I mean, he's a free agent after this year. So get what you can out of him right now in case this is all you got from him. Next one from Face. Last roster spot. Any ideas? Veteran point guard, D-leaguer, perk. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the first one. I think it's going to be a point guard. I don't know if it's going to be like an old veteran point guard, but I'm pretty confident they're going to get a point guard. They like Samaje Christen. They think he's an NBA player. But I don't know if they want to put the pressure on him of being the full-time backup point guard. I don't know if he's there offensively. They really like him defensively. He's a pretty good on-ball defender. And he fights pretty hard around ball screens. He's long. He plays super hard. But offensively, like, he's, you know, he's developing. He's not there offensively. He's not there running an offense. That's why they let Oladipo basically take the reins. And Christen even plays off the ball. But when he's playing off the ball with the second unit, he's not a dominant enough shooter to provide a ton of spacing. So I think they're going to go the point guard route. I know people talk about Perk. Here's the thing. If you want to bring in a guy who's great in the locker room, who can help from a cultural standpoint, I totally get that. I think people are too extreme in either direction on bringing in veteran leadership. People think it's a joke bringing in veteran leadership, or people think it's a thing you need to do no matter what. You got to have that veteran leadership. And I'm more of a middleist in this case. I'm more of a moderate. I think you bring in the veteran leadership when it's necessary, when you can. When the roster is complete, it's the final touch, it's the cherry on top. But they don't have the ice cream and the sundae yet to where they can get to the cherry on top. When you're still looking to fill out the roster, like I said earlier, like they're not looking for a 15th man, I don't think. Maybe they'll end up signing a 15th man because that's just what they end up having to do. But this roster isn't necessarily in need of a 15th man. It's in need of like a 9th man. They need a backup point guard. That would help them the most. And I think you can bring in that veteran guy. And I think it's also less necessary to bring in like the veteran leadership role. I think it's less necessary when you don't have a... They have a good locker room. They have a young team, but they have a good locker room. And they have good guys. And they've got the veteran. You know, they've got Taj Gibson. And they've got Nick Collison. Those guys play that role too. But they have a good locker room. They have a close locker room. They have a high character locker room. A hardworking locker room. I don't look at this team and think, man, they could really use an extra veteran in there to push them through, to help them out. And then maybe there are certain things that a vet's going to give them that'll help. But I think a point guard who can help them on the court is probably more important. So that's where I think they're going to go. And from what I hear, that seems to be the direction that they're going in, and that doesn't surprise me. Next one, final one, from Mikey Big Show. He wants to know, did being forced to watch non-March Madness college ball make you question the meaning of life? So for those who don't know, I filled in for one day at the Norman Transcript as I covered the Oklahoma basketball game on Saturday night. It was a heck of a time. A 30-point blowout of Kansas State, where Kansas State shot 25% from the field. What a game. Man, it's amazing. I watch NBA all the time. I go to a college game. I used to be the biggest college fan. I used to be obsessed with college. I grew up preferring college to NBA growing up. When I was in college, I went to Syracuse my freshman year. I transferred to Mizzou. When I was at Syracuse, I was a manager of the basketball team. I was obsessed with it. It was a year that was Johnny Flynn and Paul Harris and Eric Diebendorf and Wes Johnson redshirted and Chris Joseph was on that team and like Orenzio Nwaku and Rick Jackson. Like it was a really good team. It was a Sweet 16 team. It was a really good team. It was so much fun. Loved it. Obsessed with college basketball. In college, I transferred to Mizzou. Still, covering the Mizzou team. was a 2 seed my senior year, although we lost to Norfolk State, which was just really upsetting. But, like, you know, covering that team and covering college basketball, a blast. Loved it. Loved college basketball. Now that I've been covering the NBA for, you know, a few years since college, like, man, I just struggle to watch college now. And I kind of stopped covering college. I used to be, like, all in on college. I used to be the NBA guy who knew so much about college. And now I just don't know it at all. I don't know the players at all, and I struggle to watch it so much. The speed of the game. What kills me the most is the perimeter passing. Like, the purely cosmetic swings around the perimeter, which do absolutely nothing, and they pass around the perimeter for 12 seconds. Just kills me. Kills me. But at least OU played well. Apparently OU has not had the greatest season of all time. At least I've gotten a few tweets asking me to go to more OU games since they're 1-0 at games that I go to, even though they're 4-12 in conference. So that worked. But yeah, I mean, that was a fun college game. I'm happy to watch. And like Mizzou game, well, Mizzou is embarrassing now, but you know, it's great for the environment and when it's a good team, and it's great when it's your school and your school's doing well. It's the most fun to be a fan of in that sense. But man, the caliber play, it's just so much slower. It's tough. It's tough to watch sometimes when it's not good college basketball. It really is. And thus ends my referendum on college basketball. Now every college basketball player is going to want to dunk on me. And I'm sure they can. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. Questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow for a preview of the home game against the Jazz. Thunder now 34-25 in the season. It's a pretty big game. Utah just had a great win at Washington tonight. So that was a really big game for them. But until then, until the preview of that game, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
Fashion hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High fashion, Old Navy.
Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.